Conversations with Cheryl. We'll take your phone calls with her as we talk about the unusual, the scientific, the spiritual, the paranormal, whatever's on your mind when we come back. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, back with Cheryl Jones, and we'll get to your calls as well. Open line calls, you name it, we've got it for you. Cheryl, you've been doing this now with us for what, about 6 months now?
Almost, since September.
Having fun?
Oh, it's a blast. I've even had a birthday since I joined the show.
Well, happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
How come you didn't tell us that?
Well, I've developed a new system of mathematics. I go backwards instead of forward.
Well, we all should.
And I think I'm among a small group. I don't know exactly how large it is, but I was born on my mother's birthday.
That's cool. My son's son was born on his birthday.
Wow.
In January. So they celebrate their birthdays together, and I guess you did the same with your mother.
Yes. It makes it a lot simpler.
It sure does. It sure does. That's really cool. You know, it's hard to believe we're rolling into March already.
I know. The time flies. I know that the time is being compressed. It has to be.
As a matter of fact, that would be a great show on just where is the time going? Why do things seem to go by so fast all the time?
Do you think we've been turned into a society of time travelers and we're on fast forward?
You know what? Something's going on. We definitely are on fast forward. Maybe because as the years tick by, Cheryl, the years seem to go quicker. I'm not sure if that's it or if there's something else involved.
It could be that. I would think that would be a part of it. Maybe it's not the entire answer, but certainly we have more of a perspective in terms of time as we stack up the years. So, you know, who knows? It could be the quickening.
Could be. And I think we go on to daylight saving time in a couple weeks, don't we?
I think so. And that's something I just wish we could be on the same time all the time. I don't know about you, but I would prefer that it stay the same.
I do, too. I think it's a waste going back and forth. Keep it one way or the other.
Exactly.
And just
adjust
keep
that
it.
Way. Just is so disruptive with scheduling.
There are a couple states in the country that don't honor daylight saving time. They don't flip. And I think Hawaii's one of them.
Uh-huh. I think that would be nice.
It's Sunday, March 8th. So before you go to bed, you turn your clocks up 1 hour, spring ahead, fall back, and
And you'll be on time.
You'll be on time. You'll get an extra.
All the time.
You'll seem to get an extra hour of sunlight. All right.
Yes, but you pay for it on the other side.
I had a debate years ago, Cheryl, with the individual whose name will remain nameless, who is totally convinced they did daylight saving time so the plants would get an extra hour of sunlight.
Oh, my goodness.
And I could not convince that person otherwise. And they said, look, you know, you've gained an hour. They got an extra hour of sunlight. And they said the plants get the same amount of sunlight every day that they have. There's no time delineation here.
Mm-hmm. I was going to bring up one thing to you, George. You know, you mentioned the paranormal, and we talk about it a lot, and a lot of the guests on Coast, our paranormal guests, are talking about the subject. I just ran across an interesting story. Haven't had time to really follow up on it, but I know you must have followed the Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs becoming the world.
I did watch it. I watched it in my office. We were on the air that night.
Wasn't that a game and a half?
I didn't expect it. I thought San Francisco was going to pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, Mahomes' machine, he's one of a kind. But I ran across a story that said that there was a psychic medium, or a couple of them perhaps, there in the Kansas City area that thought the field may have had negative energy before the Super Bowl. This was during 2019 because they'd had a bad streak for a while. And so they came out there and did their thing to chase away the negative energy, and they felt that they had done so. So what do you think? Do you think that might have helped them win the Super Bowl?
You never know. You never
I thought
know.
that was an interesting story.
Let us go to the calls. Let's go to Annie in Alabama to get things started. Hey, Annie, go ahead.
Thank you so much, George.
Sure thing.
For having me on.
You are welcome.
Hi, Cheryl.
Oh, hi.
Hi. I have a solution regarding how one of the ways coronavirus is transmitted, which I believe is a cover-up that the CDC and the Chinese government want to sweep under the rug. They don't want to talk about the way people like to eat live, wiggling shellfish and frogs and
frogs.
Squid and octopus off the plate. I've actually seen somebody do that. It's very popular, and it's a status symbol. And if you want to really impress the girl and make her think you're somebody.
Eat a frog?
You take her to these places where you've got to, it's like a speakeasy. You've got to know somebody.
And have bat soup, right?
That's one of them. But
that wouldn't impress anybody I know.
Me either. I wouldn't be hungry on that day.
Well, it's true.
No, I know what you're talking about. There's been a lot of talk and reporting on that. And from what I can gather, they're trying to claim that that doesn't have anything to do with it. I don't know. We're not there. We have to take the reporting and the information that's given to us by the researchers and by the people who are in charge. So I don't know that there's any way we can ever know for sure what's really going on.
My news hound gut in me, Cheryl, tells me that something went awry in a laboratory.
I agree with you there. A bioweapon.
Something
it is
like
just
that.
Too bizarre. Like, almost reminds me of the Andromeda
strain.
Airborne strain.
Yep. Joe in the Bronx, take it away, Joseph.
How are you?
All right.
Good, good. Cheryl, I wanted to know if Edgar Mitchell, upon his mission to the moon, his moonwalking and all, was able to gather any artifacts that he was allowed to keep, and also... did his spacesuit have to be decontaminated upon returning?
I think they had to decontaminate all the suits, Joe, when he came back. In terms of artifacts, did he take a little rock with him or anything, Cheryl?
He did, and that's another interesting story that's in the book by William Bill Rauscher. He likes to be called Bill. Edgar brought back a little sack that had some materials in it that he and Alan Shepard had gathered on the moon, and they were estimated to be more than 4 billion years old, among the oldest materials found on the moon. And he gave that to Bill Rauscher as a gift.
Wow.
It was called the Lunar Material, and there is a beautiful picture of a stained glass window that Bill had this material, this lunar material, built into the stained glass window. It's actually in the Christ Church in Woodbury, New Jersey. And so that that is there as a permanent gift to him. And it's just an amazing picture in that book of that. But it's just one of the things, and there was another thing that he did. He had the lunar Bibles. They were miniature Bibles, and he had 100 of them, and they were on microfilm, tiny, tiny, tiny. And Buzz Aldrin had performed communion, on the moon on his trip as well. So there's a lot of history there. But on those lunar Bibles, Edgar had one of those put into a Fabergé egg that he kept in his home. And I don't know what happened to the others. There are varying stories on that. One story is that one was auctioned for a lot of money. But, yes, there were artifacts that were brought back. And I know he had the story with the camera that he had that I think NASA has it back now, as far as I know. But, yes. There are a lot of those things that were brought back.
Of the 12 astronauts who have walked on the moon, 4 are still alive, Cheryl.
Isn't that incredible? And Edgar was number 6. He was number six.
Oldest is Buzz Aldrin. He's 90 years old.
Isn't that incredible?
And he just seems to be going strong.
The epiphany that Edgar had on his way back from the moon, and he felt that if he could just take every politician by the gruff of the neck, is how he said it, and take them up there and let them see how beautiful the Earth and the planet is from that vantage point, that things would be completely different.
Change your perspective about everything.
Right. It's all perspective, isn't it?
Yep, it sure is. Joe in Monterey, California. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, Joe.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi.
You know, that last remark, taking the politicians to the moon, they should leave them there.
I think Edgar was thinking about taking them by the neck and shaking them really good. And
we couldn't do that to the moon, right?
Right.
Yes. There goes the neighborhood.
Right.
I heard, and it's on YouTube, a Senator Cotton did a meeting, and he was talking about what he had found, the information that they have. And yes, China is not forthcoming in any information. It's been lying to everybody. That Russia has closed its borders to China, by the way. Also, those ducks that they were going to send.
They decided not to do that.
Yeah, they didn't want them because they know that what's going on. They heard what's going on in China.
The Pakistanis, you mean?
Mm-hmm. 24 days for gestation. It doesn't show signs after 24 days. This is a weapon. It sneaks under our radar because everybody says, well, 14 days and you're okay. 24 days. And it is a bioweapon. That's what they believe. That's what Senator Cotton and his information, that's what they believe. And they are really on this. They're trying to do their best to stop it. So we can't really say, hey, why didn't you know? They know now, and they're doing what they can. They just appropriated $1 billion to stop this. Well, all I can say is strengthen your immune system. Do you have any ideas on this? Oh, and 5G, that does disrupt your immune system. It does disrupt your field, your energy field around you, and weakens the individual as well.
Tell me a little bit more about your thoughts of 5G, Joe.
Well, it's a catch-22. It doesn't really help us much for internet. All it does is really put a network of radiation around the world, and this really destroys our aura. And also, they can use mind control to come in with all different frequencies because our aura is down, our energy is down, and it does have that effect on people. Some people get stressed out more. Their immune system is going down. A lot of things, they get cloudy in their head. They're not as aware. And as far as spirituality, it does debilitate the person spiritually, because that's what it is. It's an attack against good and evil, George.
There's not enough towers right now. I mean, 5G is up and running. I see, like, Verizon advertising it already. It's ready to go, but I wonder what the quality's like.
Well, you're talking about a cabal. You're talking about the NWO. You're talking about demonic. And you're talking about ETs who are in control of them.
You think so?
Well, that's what the ETs say, the positive ones. They're all positive ones, George. We can't forget that. And there is a law of non-interference. And if anything, we are interfering on ourselves and nature. And nature strikes back. It tries to rebalance itself. It's not like it's trying to get even. God is love. And nature applies its laws, its spiritual laws, as physical laws. And it readjusts. And we're part of that nature, and we have to readjust.
All right, great, Joe. Thanks. Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to Joe in Long Island. Welcome to the program. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Joe, I have two quick items. You mentioned the point of view of space, but just the common point of view. I was thinking about that, like how we have a point of view and we carry it forward and don't make a conscious effort to really maybe amend it, change it, or look in the mirror. and how sometimes you say, okay, whatever information I have, what common stuff, you know, I'm not going to change my point of view that much. So I'd ask you about that in relation to, say, decision-making. And also the movie La Dolce Vita was a fascinating movie to me. The central character was a writer who aggressively pursued kind of the party crowd in their excesses. He was going to write exposés on them. Then he found himself weak-willed and falling into what they were doing at the end. And, you know, it's symbolized by the girl he met, you know, just takes his hand as he's looking towards the angelic girl across the way at the beach. And I'd ask you about that, too, where...
Well, how about a question, Joe?
Yeah. Like, just point of view and decision-making, like how people just don't make adjustments in their point of view.
With regards to what?
Anything.
I still haven't heard the question.
Yeah, in other words, as you come across new material, why do people just hold to their original point of view?
And they don't change their minds?
Right, exactly.
Well, I guess people are pretty rigid, don't you think, Cheryl?
Maybe set in their ways, possibly. I had a little phone issue there, and I didn't get the first part of the discussion, but I think people oftentimes just don't want to go along with whatever the latest suggestion might be. They'd like to stay the course.
Well, you know, I think talking about a political year, it's very difficult for people to change their minds once they are set. And I think a lot of these politicians are beginning to realize that it's very difficult to get people to change their minds.
Especially if people have grown up in a certain environment that is very strong one way or the other, that tends to follow them through life in some cases. Not always, obviously, but a lot of people do have that loyalty to what they grew up, you know, what their parents were.
We've got a link for Cheryl's website, which is CherylJones.com, Cheryl with a C, two L's in her name, but we've got the link for you at coasttocoastam.com. When we come back in just a moment, we are going to take final phone calls with her and questions about the unusual, the spiritual, the paranormal. Whatever you have, fire away here on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget to follow us on our YouTube channel, by the way. Free to subscribe. Just go to Coast to Coast AM Official. I'd love to hit 400,000 views pretty soon, the members. So we're right on the cusp of that. So if you haven't signed up yet, and again, it's free to sign up, just subscribe by going to our website, click the YouTube icon. Or if you're on YouTube already, you must put in Coast to Coast AM Official. And welcome back. George Norrie with you. Cheryl Jones with us, of course, in your phone calls. Cheryl, once a meteorologist, always one. Still interested in the weather?
Yes, I am. You can't get away from it, George. It's everywhere, and it continues to be in the news as well. You have Dane Wigginton on from time to time, who keeps us all updated on geoengineering, which is the downside of a lot of what's going on in our atmosphere. But it's an interesting thing, and people are becoming more and more aware of how important it all is, and concerned about the possibility of weather manipulation and everything else that's going on.
Do you find, Cheryl?
Serious storms.
Do you find that the weather is more violent now than it was during your on-camera days?
Well, there are different people who have studied it really in depth and have different opinions, and there is a cycle. You can't deny that there is a cycle to everything, including the weather and the atmosphere. And it's that's a tough call, because you can make a case for either side.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one thing that's happening that makes everybody think that everything is so much different than ever before is that we have 24/7 news coverage on everything.
Everything. It doesn't stop anymore.
Yes. Well, everything that they'll allow us to know about. And that makes a big difference, because people are more aware of things. If you were alive in early 1900s, and you had a flood in your community, your relatives wouldn't know until they got a letter from you probably weeks later.
I remember
so,
when...
Go ahead.
I remember when CNN first started, we were one of their stringers in St. Louis for them because they needed video. And we provided it to them, and that was back in 1979, 1980, right about then. When did you start with them?
I started with them in 1987. I was three at the time.
That's right. I believe that. You're not gonna get me to refute that.
Yes, that's some serious math.
Were you based out of Atlanta?
Yes, I was. I was based out of Atlanta.
Okay, let's take some calls here for you.
I was living in Atlanta. The traffic was a mess, but then that's the price you pay in certain areas.
It's a great town. Mimi's with us in Midland, Texas. Hey, Mimi, go ahead.
Hi, George, and hi, Cheryl, and thank you so much
hello.
For your work. I am so sorry I didn't get to meet Edgar Mitchell, but I did meet a bunch of the others, the groundbreakers or the forerunners. And I have two stories. We might not have time for both, but I have a fun one about Uri Geller, and I have a follow-up story to my encounter with Dr. Hynek.
Wow.
So, Uri, I was at some workshops 3 years running in St. Louis, and the last year, which was 1977, Uri was one of the, I don't know if he was a lecturer or a entertainer, but he's good at either one. And I happened to be seated next to a lady that I didn't know. There was probably about 1,000 of us in this auditorium.
Was this for the Jewish Community Center?
No, it was at the Chase Park Plaza Hotel.
Okay, because I may have met him when you met him.
Yeah, well, I didn't really, I mean, he was swamped, you know, he was kind of idolized.
Yeah.
And I really didn't have a direct, you know, meeting with him, but being seated next to this woman, he had gotten on a roll with his show, and I felt something drop from the ceiling and brush my hair, and I heard it hit the floor. And I started looking, and this lady next to me started looking, and she reached down and picked it up, and it was a wedding ring.
Jeez.
And, yeah, it had been her wedding ring, and she had lost it a couple of years before, and it apported right next to it.
And it just popped up.
Well, I felt it.
Uri had that ability because he did that with that Edgar Casey tie clasp. I mean, Edgar
yes.
Mitchell tie clasps.
That's what made me think of it. And
wow.
I mean, he was an amazing guy. I mean, he is an amazing guy. But the man you were talking to, he pretty much summed it up that he's a mystery or an enigma wrapped in a mystery because he really is. But he was wonderful to see. And the other story was, as you know, George, I had a little encounter with Dr. Hynek, and he was wanting me to go listen to Jacques Vallée's lecture.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I was really pretty young. And at that time, I'd never thought about anything like that. I was at the workshop for other reasons. But he was very persistent and very persuasive. The only way I finally got him to calm down a little bit when he found out that I really didn't know if I believed in it or not was to promise I would buy Dr. Vallée's book that he had just released.
And that one probably was called Passport to Manogia. Manogia.
I don't even remember the name of it, but I did keep my word. I went home. After I got home, my husband and I got an invitation to his boss's house for dinner. So we went, and what I didn't realize is they knew I had gone on this trip. And at that time in the 70s, you were like a 5 or 10% of the population that believed any of this.
Right.
So after dinner, the boss was asking me about the workshop, and I told him. And when I came to this part about extraterrestrial, that I did assure him this was real scientists and physicists. It wasn't a bunch of whacks, you know. And Oh, my goodness. The only way I can describe this man is he's an old-time German pragmatist. A very good man, but if he couldn't see it, touch it, and taste it, he didn't believe in it. And he teased me to tears, literally.
That's a great story.
And, you know, what could I say? This was my husband's boss, you know. So about a year went by, and my phone rang one day, and it was, we'll call this man Vernon for the sake of the conversation. It was him. And he had never, you know, never called me before. And he asked if I had time to talk. I said, sure. And he said, I want to tell you something. And he had gone camping the weekend before with his young son. They had just settled into their sleeping bag about midnight. And all of a sudden, just Vernon said that just every nerve in his body, you know, went off. And he sat up, and it was at the Davis Mountains, really close to the Davis Mountains. And he noticed the light at the base of the mountain, and it began to rise up. And it rose up, and it looked like the mountain opened up, and away it went, whatever it was. Well, it scared them so much, they jumped up, got in their vehicle, and took off.
Some would say it was a plasma ball. Who knows what it could be? Have you ever seen a UFO, Cheryl?
I've seen things, but I don't know if they were truly UFOs. I've been with friends a couple of times, actually in the Kansas City area, and we saw some lights, the strange lights, that stop and turn and go pretty fast. And, you know, the kind
whatever
of
they were.
Yes, so who knows what they are? I can't say what they are or were, but they sure didn't look like anything you would have expected to see from Earth.
Let's go to Larry in Houston, Texas. Welcome to the program. Hi, Larry. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Love it. Cheryl, I just turned 60, right? So I was a kid when all this was going on in Apollo 11. We all went to my grandma's house. She had the only color TV in, like, the whole 8-block area around our house, you know. So we all gathered over there, and I was just thrilled by the whole thing. And the thing you said about the coming back to Earth as a humanitarian, I wish that we could all experience that. I really do, because it gives you the biggest picture you could possibly get. But my question is this here, and that is some flat earther or, you know, somebody that they was talking about, we never went to the moon and all that stuff. So I got to looking and digging around, and they said even the Hubble telescope could not see the flag or the landing gear from the limb on the moon, you know. But NASA has pictures, though, of something that took a picture, and it showed different ones, you know, one where the little golf cart went around and where the from Apollo 11 where the footprints were and
right,
all that, you know.
Right.
My question is, you know, how do we, isn't there some proof, isn't there something that we've sent up to go around the moon to take pictures? Can we prove definitively that we went to the moon and shut these people up?
We did take pictures. One of our surveyors that was going around the moon took pictures of a landing spot, and once blown up, you could see one of the part of the landers down there. Remember that, Cheryl?
Yes, yes. I talked to Edgar about the moon hoaxers, and it was interesting. He was really, just as Bill described in the interview, he had no patience for people claiming that we did not go to the moon. And he said that happened during a time when we were on a race to the moon to see who could get there first, on a race with Russia for political power. And so that was just his firm stand.
Don't bring that up to Buzz Aldrin.
Oh, I know. Oh,
he'll pop you.
Yes. Yes. And in his book, he also talks about a situation where that happened at his house, Edgar's house. And he literally booted the guy out of his house.
Well, a lot of people died in getting us to win that space race. and a lot of dedicated Americans. And, you know, we went. I think one of the biggest issues for those people who think it was faked, we had a simulator. Do you remember when, like, Cronkite was broadcasting the moon landing? They would go to a simulator on a stage, and you take you'd see what the astronaut was doing at that time on the stage.
Right.
I have a feeling some of those things got mixed up with some of the real video and footage, and a lot of people think, aha, look, it's faked. Well, that was that portion was faked. It was staged for the benefit of television viewers at home.
To understand it all, right. Right. And that was a time before we had the technical sophistication that we have now to really understand how all of that works and how it didn't work at that time. So I think you're right.
We've got first-time caller Anthony in Brooklyn, New York. Welcome to the program. Hi, Anthony.
How you doing, George? Thanks for taking my phone call. I've been a long-time listener, but first time I've been able to get through to you guys.
Well, I'm glad you did.
And, oh, I appreciate it so much. And, Cheryl, the question that I wanted to ask is so strange. I know you know about the universe because you're a meteorologist, correct?
Yep.
Does the universe dictate birthdays?
Birthdays.
Because your birthdays. Because, see, George, your mom is born on 5/28. So is my father.
Uh-huh. Good
and
memory.
Right. Well, I have a very good, when it comes to birthdays, unbelievable. But here's this. Now you mentioned before about two people that are born on the same day in January, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious what date that was.
January 4.
Okay. Now, I'm born on January 24th, Aquarius. And my whole entire life, I have two relatives and 15 people throughout my life till this day, my girlfriend, we're all born on the same birthday, January 24th.
Oh,
and
my.
It actually goes even further. If you know the show Supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if
great show.
Okay. Dean, his character is born on January 24th. Now, the last week on my birthday, January 24th, they were filming, and I watched Supernatural after the pick four number at the New York Lottery.
Ha! Huh.
The number was on the front. It was the address of the house. If I would have watched it before that,
you would have won.
I would have won, correct. But I didn't watch it before that. So then I went to research why the producer picked that birthday. His wife is born on that birthday.
I love it. And we've only got a minute left, Cheryl. Does the universe select numbers and stuff? That's more numerology, isn't it?
Well, I suppose it is, but there are reports, and if you look it up on the internet, it says our universe does not have a birthday. But our interviews, according to Edgar, our universe was intelligent, and it did not just exist, but it existed as an organized universe with intelligence. So who knows? I don't know if it has a birthday or not, but that's a compelling question.
Cheryl, we'll see you the end of March with your next series of reports.
I'll be there.
All righty. Looking forward to it. Cheryl Jones, our investigative reporter. And, of course, we will have conversations with Cheryl right after her report. She will be on the last Thursday of every month, barring a holiday or two. But that's the plan right now. So stick with us tomorrow, because in addition to a special series of guests, it'll be those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.